In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the traditional calendar of the Latin Mass, the traditional Latin Mass, we celebrate Pentecost for the whole octave. So we celebrate the season of Pentecost, or the feast of Pentecost, through this miniature little season, the time of Pentecost, which would continue through this whole week, and end today with the Ember Saturday of Pentecost. And so then Pentecost would carry us up through to Trinity Sunday. In the new Mass, it is already switched back to ordinary time. But in the traditional Mass, the ancient tradition, we continue to celebrate Pentecost through the week. And then that gives us time to consider the great gift which Pentecost was, the great gift which Pentecost still is in the Church. Time to meditate and contemplate on the gift of the Holy Spirit. But then, especially as we come now towards Trinity Sunday, it would be good to sort of break from my usual custom of preaching about Our Lady. Last Saturday, we gave a homily about Mary and the Holy Spirit. And instead, though, since this is our only Latin Mass during the season of Pentecost here, to just say a few words about the Holy Spirit as a person of the Blessed Trinity. And then this will also help us be well prepared for Trinity Sunday tomorrow as well. So just a few words. I'll also say we're inspired to do this because today is would be the feast of St. Basil, or St. Basil the Great. And his feast is suppressed today on account of the Ember Saturday of Pentecost. So we don't celebrate St. Basil the Great today, but we would if it wasn't Ember Saturday. And the reason that St. Basil's feast inspires us to preach about the Holy Spirit as one of the persons of the Blessed Trinity is that he is one of the greatest writers in the Church in defending the fact that the Holy Spirit truly is God. He writes extensively on this. Probably the greatest work on the Holy Spirit is his work titled On the Holy Spirit. So if you're looking for a short, simple little book on the Holy Spirit, St. Basil the Great, On the Holy Spirit. It's a great place to start. So just a few thoughts about the Trinity and about the Holy Spirit as one of the persons of the Trinity. Now, we all know the Trinity means three persons in one nature. Right? Three persons in one nature. Now, what do we say then when we say three persons in one nature? Nature and person, what do those words really mean? It's actually not that complicated. It's really not that complicated. You can think of this through a simple analogy to understand the difference between nature and person. Person answers the question, who is it? Nature answers the question, what it is. So nature allows us to be what we are and to perform the actions proper to that sort of thing, whereas person is the one who does those actions. It's the one who is that thing, that kind of thing. Okay, so here's a simple little analogy, right? Say you're out camping, you're out in a tent, and you hear some noise out there outside the tent, and maybe you're new at camping, so you're a little nervous. You hear some noise out there, and what do you say? What was that? Right? You hear some like hoot or some howl. What was that? You don't say, who was that? Right? You say, what was that? Because you don't really care like which wolf it was. It just matters that it was a wolf. Right? That's the point. Like, it doesn't matter whether that was, Jack the wolf or Susan the wolf. It doesn't really matter. What you're worried about is, what is it? Is that a wolf or a bunny rabbit? Right? What is that? Now, on the other hand, say you're in that same tent, and you hear a car pull up, and someone goes, is anyone there? And you say, who is that? Right? You don't say, what is that? You know, you're not concerned, was that a wolf or a bear? You're not worried about what it was. You already know what it is. It's a human being. Your question is, who's out there, right? Like, is that my buddy coming up to meet me? Or is that like a crazy person, you know, with a shotgun or something, right? That's what you'd be worried about. Who is that? You know, it's who it is that concerns you at that point. Who is that out there? Not so much what. Okay, so that's the simple point. That's why, like, in ghost stories, right, what happens? There's, like, a knock at the door. You go and you open the door, and there's no one there. You say, who is it? No answer. Who is it? No answer. Open the door, no one's there, and now you're scared, not because of who it is, but because this is a nature you didn't expect. Namely, what is it, right? That's what makes a scary movie scary, right? It's that you're expecting a who, but really the question should have been what, right? You see, that's why it's scary. There's a little philosophy of movies there, philosophy of stories, right? That's why it was scary. You're expecting the question to be about who or whom, but really the question is about what. And so we're meeting with a nature we didn't expect. So who is it? Is the person. What is it? Refers to nature. Okay. So God, three persons in one God. Right? Three persons in one God. What is the Holy Spirit? He is God. Who is the Holy Spirit? The mutual gift of the Father and the Son. Okay, so who is the Father? First of all, what is the Father? He's God. Who is the Father? He is the one who generates the Son. That's who he is. If we want to really answer that question, we don't talk about ourselves. We don't say, oh, well, the Father is the one who created the universe. No, that does not answer the question. It really doesn't answer the question. Because the Son and the Holy Spirit also created the universe. Okay? So it has nothing to do, answering who is each person doesn't refer to us. Like, God's personhood doesn't refer to us. We need to get that in our heads. God's personhood does not refer to us. He was who he was before we existed. His identity doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on us, okay? So when we think of the Trinity, we're not speaking about God's relationship to ourselves. We're speaking of God's relationship to himself, namely to the other persons. So who is the Father? He's the one who generates the Son. Who is the Son? He's the one who is generated of the Father, right? So the first person of the Trinity, who is he? He is the Father of the Son. The second person of the Trinity, who is he? He is the Son of the Father, right? And the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who is he? He is the love of the Father and the Son. It is the mutual gift of love exchanged between the Father and the Son. That's who he is. Okay. Now, we could say like a little word about all this to try and explain the mystery of the Trinity. It's sort of a simple little analogy, right? So we know that in the beginning, before the beginning even, right? From before the beginning, there was God. And nothing but God. No creatures, but just God, right? So if we're trying to think, who are the three persons, right? So, just God. All there can be is God. No creatures, nothing that's not God. But only God. Everything that we're going to speak about must be God. That's what it is, or what he is. God, divine. Okay. Nature, divine nature. Good. So what was there before the creation of the world? God, and nothing but God. So there's God. But was he just there inanimate? No, he had to be living, right? If he's God, he must be living. Yes, he must be living if he's God. And is he living the way a plant lives? No. Has to be more than that because he's God. Because he doesn't have a body, because a body would have to be a creature. We don't need to go into all that. But a body would have to be a creature. Then he must be a pure spirit. If he's pure spirit, then that means he's pure mind, right? Pure intellect. Because the more something is spiritual, the more it's intellectual. That's why the angels can think so much better than we can, because we are bodies. but their souls are just pure spirits, right? So they can think much more quickly than we can, and they can know a lot more than we can. Well, God must be even more spiritual than the angels, pure spirit, pure, pure spirit, in an absolute way, okay? So therefore, there's God and nothing but God, and he's living and he's intellectual, right? So he knows himself, right? What else would he be able to think about? There's nothing else at this point, right? There's no creature, so he knows himself. So God knows himself, and the Father generates the Son. Okay? His knowledge of himself, is that a creature? When he knows himself, that knowledge, that idea he has of himself, is that a creature? It can't be. We're talking about God before any creatures, right? We're talking about the time before creation. So when you and I have an idea in our head, it's just a creature. But we're talking about the time before creation. So the idea he has in his head of himself can't be a creature. It can't be, because this is before creation. So the idea also has to be God. It also has to be God. And it's a perfect idea. It's a perfect idea. And it's God, because it's not a creature. So if it's God, guess what? That idea has to be a person. It has to be living, right? And it's pure spirit, right? Otherwise, it'd be a mere creature. Okay, I know we're kind of going into deep things here, but it's really not that complicated. It's really not that complicated. The idea is either a creature or it's God. And we're talking about the time before there were creatures, therefore the idea has to be God. And if the idea is God, then it has to be a person, because God's a person. And yet the idea has to be living, and therefore has to be intellectual. Okay. So God thinks about himself, he knows himself, and the Father generates the Son. So now there are clearly two persons. And I'm not saying this would convince an atheist, right? This is for those of us who have faith, who are trying to understand, right? This isn't a proof for the Trinity, okay? We can't prove the Trinity. This is an explanation of the mystery, okay? Something of an explanation. The beginnings of a hint towards an explanation. The Father and the Son love each other. Because if God knows himself, he must love himself. Because that's also what it is to be a living, rational thing. Living, rational person. To know and to love. Right? What good would it be to know without being able to love? Be no good at all, right? That'd be terrible. Be terrible. So it can't just know without loving, right? So God knows himself, but he also has to love himself. He has to love himself. He has to look at the idea of himself and love that idea. But even more so, if the idea is a person, the idea has to look at the Father and love the Father. So the Father has to love the Son, and the Son has to love the Father. Now that love, it's either a creature or it's God. Our love is a creature, right? It's a creature. It's either an act, or we could think of love as a virtue within our soul, but in either case, it's a creature. But we're talking about the time before creatures, before God created anything. It's only God. So if that love is at the time when it's only God before any creatures, then that love can't be a creature. That love has to be God. It has to be God. But if that love is God, then it has to be living. It has to be a person. Which means it has to be the Holy Spirit. Right? Has to be the third person of the Blessed Trinity. So God knows himself, and the Father generates the Son. God loves himself, and the Father and the Son breathe forth the Holy Spirit, who is the mutual exchange of their love. Now, this is only, as I say, an explanation. It's not a proof. Because as far as our limited minds are concerned, we could have more persons, right? But in fact, there are not more persons. You know, so we don't quite understand all the mysteries. We don't understand all the mysteries. Obviously, we don't. But this is an explanation, right? Because the Holy Spirit could have also generated a person. Of course he could have, right? I suppose. St. Thomas says yes, at least. And so we don't understand the whole depth of it. But this is an explanation, though. Something of an explanation, the hint towards an explanation. So the Holy Spirit is a person just as much as the Father and the Son are persons. And the Holy Spirit is God just as much as the Father and the Son are God. And it's not that, like, the Holy Spirit is God if you add the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is the whole divinity. Right? The fullness of divinity dwells in the Son. It says it right there in sacred scripture. In him the fullness of divinity was pleased to dwell. Well, if the fullness of the divinity dwells in Jesus, then the fullness of the divinity has to dwell in the Holy Spirit. And the fullness of the divinity obviously has to dwell in the Father. So when you look at the Holy Spirit, that's all there is to God, except that he's not the Father and the Son. But the whole question of what is answered. God, completely and totally. Nothing missing of the divinity. Nothing is missing of the divinity when you have the Holy Spirit. The whole divinity is in the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The Father and the Son are in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in the Father and the Son. And the whole Father and the whole Son are in the whole Holy Spirit. And the whole Holy Spirit is wholly in the whole Father and the whole Son. And in every part, right? So there's no part of the Father that isn't filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no part of the Holy Spirit that isn't filled with the whole Son, and so forth. Because they are all fully God in every respect. And of course, there's no parts to any of them because they're all perfectly simple. So of course, this is a mystery. Okay, now this is the point. This is the practical point. So that's the theology. That's the theology. Hopefully we have that idea down to explain a little bit about the Trinity. The clover, you know, is a great start, by the way. When we're teaching little kids, start with that. That's good. That's fine. Now start with the clover. But at some point, we take a step forward, don't we? At some point, we take a step forward. Okay, so what does it mean on a more practical level for us? It seems to me that far too often we don't speak to the Holy Spirit like he's a person. Right? Because we look around and we see fathers, and they're persons. We look around and we see sons, and they're persons. But we don't look around and see spirits. You know? So when we think of our soul's not a person, right? Now, of course, the angelic souls are persons, but unfortunately we don't see them quite so often. So that's our problem. We have lots of material analogies for the Father and the Son. So it's easy for us to speak to the Father. It's easy for us to speak to the Son in a personal conversation. You know, Protestants are always talking about a personal relationship with Jesus. They never talk about a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, half of them don't even believe the Holy Spirit's actually a person, you know, which is a major heresy, right? Big, big. Thank goodness they don't actually articulate it. Otherwise, they wouldn't even be Christian anymore. But many of them, the way they speak and the way they write would indicate that the Holy Spirit's not even a person to them, but that he's more like the soul for our body. You know, that's what he is for the Trinity, like the soul for the rest of the Trinity. And I understand why they get confused, right? Because when you leave the church, you get very confused, right? So we understand why they're so confused. The point is, he is a person. He is a person. And we do have to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we ought to speak to the Holy Spirit. We really ought to speak to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to Jesus. The Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets. Right? Clearly in sacred scripture, the Spirit is revealed to us as a person. Right? Who was it that drove Jesus into the wilderness? It was the Spirit. A personal action from a real person, the Holy Spirit. Right? Who was it that told Paul to go on? It was the Holy Spirit. Right? He spoke directly to Paul. Right? It's in Acts of the Apostles. Read it if you want more closely. So we have many times where the Holy Spirit clearly acts as a person in the Bible. We ought to respect him as a person, love him as a person, speak to him as a person. You know, even as we speak to the Father and the Son, so too we ought to speak to the Holy Spirit. Okay, good. And so if we do that, right, if we do that, I think our spiritual lives will be rounded out a lot more. We'll be rounded out a lot more. We've been praying the sequence in the Mass, in the Latin Mass. We've had the sequence through the week. You know, the sequence from last Sunday. You know, think of that there. We're speaking to the Holy Spirit as a person. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Right? Come, Holy Spirit, come. You know, don't just say those words. Don't just say them as words. You're speaking to someone. Right? That's someone with a capital S. You're speaking to God himself. One of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. Right? We're speaking to someone. A big someone. We're speaking to love with a capital L. Right? That's who he is. What is the Father? Love. What is the Son? Love. What is the Holy Spirit? Love. But who is the Holy Spirit? Love. Who? Love. Right? The love of the Father and the Son. That's who he is. That's who he is. Not just what. The Father is love, that's what he is. The Son is love, that's what he is. God is love, that's what he is. But the Holy Spirit, it's who he is. Right? That's who he is as a person. Okay, it's a long homily, so I better cut it short here. Speak to the Holy Spirit. Speak to love himself. Speak to him. Speak to him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.